2 Timothy chapter 1, the Bible reads, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting out of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death, and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. And in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. Let's bow our heads and open in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for the word of God and the fact that we can be here in church, assembled together with your people. And the Bible has told us that where two or three are gathered together in your name, there you are in the midst, Lord. And so we pray that you would meet with us tonight, Lord. And we pray that the Holy Spirit of God would fill me and all those that are here, that we might be able to learn great things out of your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, the part of this chapter that I really would like to focus in on is verse number 7 of 2 Timothy chapter 1. The Bible reads, For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And that's what I want to preach about tonight, is the fact that God has not given us the spirit of fear. That means that when you have the spirit of fear, that did not come from God. When you are fearful, when you're scared, when you're afraid, that is not of the Lord. That's not what God wants you to do. Over and over again, you see this phrase coming from Jesus in the Bible. Fear not, fear not. Even the disciples, he keeps having to tell the disciples, fear not, fear not. It seems like every chapter he's telling someone, be not afraid, fear not. In fact, fear is mentioned in the Bible hundreds of times. Hundreds of times. And every single time it's mentioned, it's negative. Unless it's talking about fearing God. If we fear God, that's a good thing.
Amen.
That's a positive thing. The only person we are supposed to fear is God. And every time the Bible talks about fearing God, it's good. And any time the Bible talks about fearing anything else, it's always bad. When it talks about fearing death, that's bad. We're not supposed to fear death. We're not supposed to fear our fellow man. We're not supposed to fear persecution. When the Bible talked about in Revelation chapter 2 that persecution would come upon that church at Smyrna, he said, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. He said, behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He said, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. He tells us over and over again not to be afraid. The Bible says that the fear of man bringeth a snare. It's a trap. It's going to harm us. One of the most famous passages. Keep your finger there in 1st and 2nd Timothy because we're coming back, but go to Psalms. If you have Psalms, and those big red New Testaments, they have Psalms in the back. If you go to the back, they have Psalms, the maroon one. And then those who have the full Bible, it's in the middle of the full Bible. And in the New Testament, it would be at the very end, tagged on. Psalm 23 is one of the most famous scriptures in the whole world. This is one of the most popular parts of the Bible. John 3:16 is one of them. And then Psalm 23 is another one that's just a very popular scripture. So a lot of people have heard this. But look what the Bible says in Psalm 23, verse 1. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest me a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." What a powerful scripture. And this is why it's such a popular scripture, and it's on people's walls, and they quote it, and it's read at funerals. You know, I remember when my grandmother passed away, I went to the funeral, and Psalm 23 was read. And Psalm 23 says that God will lead us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And when God leads us into the paths of righteousness, there's always going to be opposition. There's always going to be persecution. And even you say, "Well, I'm not a preacher. I haven't been banned from South Africa." You know, but here's the thing, even you, if you receive Jesus Christ as Savior, and then you start to follow the Bible and you start to live for God, you are going to receive opposition, even just from your friends. Your friends will start criticizing you for going to church, or because you don't want to get drunk with them or party with them, and you want to live clean and you want to talk about the Bible. You know, when you start talking about the Bible, a lot of people are going to get offended by that. And you're going to face opposition from family, relatives, friends. You're always going. But God, if we follow him and if we follow Jesus Christ, he's going to lead us in those paths of righteousness. And when he leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake, he's leading us into some persecution that comes with that. And that's why right after he mentions in verse 3, if you look down at your Bible, right after he mentions leading us in those paths of righteousness, the next thing he says is, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil." Because people are afraid to live for God. They're afraid to stand up for what's right. They're afraid to preach the gospel. They're afraid to preach the whole Bible because of the fact that they don't want to be harmed or persecuted or injured. But the Bible says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." You know, if God is with us, we have nothing to fear.
Amen.
God can protect us. I know people who are afraid to go soul winning because they just say, "Well, it's just dangerous to just go out talking to strangers and preaching the gospel." But you know what? When Jesus commanded us to go preach the gospel in the Great Commission in Matthew 28, the next thing he said was, "And lo, I'm with you always." Next thing he said, "Go teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you." He said, "Preach the whole Bible." And he said, "When you preach the whole Bible, remember, lo, I am with you always, even at the end of the world." And if God is with us, we have nothing to fear. If God be for us, who can be against us? I mean, if God is on our side, even a whole army is nothing. David, in the book of Psalms, said that, "I will not be afraid, though 10,000s of people camp themselves against me round about." Can you imagine being in this church building, and we're having a preaching service, and there are 10,000 people around, angry people. 10,000 angry people camped out. The book of Psalms said, "I will not fear, I will not be afraid, though 10,000s of people camp themselves against me round about." So I'm dead sure not going to be afraid of 5 people camped out there. Right? Even 10,000 is nothing. Because there was a great story in the Bible. This is a really cool story. Where Elisha is a wanted man. The Syrian government wanted to arrest Elisha, and they wanted to take him, and who knows what they were going to do with him, kill him, whatever. But they came to get Elisha, and Elisha had a servant with him. And Elisha and the servant, they go out, and there's a whole army of Syrians just to arrest one man, Elisha. They sent the whole army to get Elisha. And the young man, the servant, was very scared. He was very afraid, obviously. He said, "Master, you know, what shall we do? What are we going to do?" And Elisha prayed to the Lord, and he said, "Lord, open this young man's eyes so that he can see." And God, just for a moment, opened his eyes spiritually, and he actually saw all the angels, you know, surrounding. It's a Bible story. It's a true story. Everything in the Bible is true. And all the angels were carried about. There were more of the angels protecting him than that whole army. And of course, God delivered Elisha. He struck the men with blindness, and he allowed Elisha to be able to escape. You know, if God is for us, who can be against us? Even if we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we should have no fear. We need to go in those paths of righteousness and let the chips fall where they may. But then he says right after that in verse 5, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies." He did not say, "I don't have any enemies." But he said that even in the presence of his enemies, God would protect him. God would take care of him. And then he says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." You know, we need to make that commitment that says, you know what? I am going to stay in the house of the Lord. I'm going to stay in church. Even if persecution comes, even if there's opposition, I'm going to take a stand for what's right. I'm going to let God lead me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And I'm not going to fear any evil. I'm not going to fear what man can do unto me. I'm going to stand and boldly preach the word of God. And let me tell you something today. In the United States of America, where I'm from, the morality is going down the toilet. I mean, the sin is worse than it's ever been. Even in the last 10 years, even just from 2006 to 2016, it has gotten so much worse. Just the godlessness and the wickedness and just the perversion and just unimaginable filth and the sodomy and everything that's so ungodly. The homosexuality and just all this dirty things. And it's just unbelievable how it's going down the toilet. And you have to ask yourself, how can this be happening? I mean, you sit there and you don't even believe that it's happening. And I know that in South Africa and in other places, the same thing is going on where the morality, the sin abounds. You know, it's getting terrible. And you ask yourself, how can this happen? I'll tell you exactly how it happens. It's because the preachers today are afraid to stand up to it. And they sit back and let it happen. And hundreds and thousands of preachers are afraid to stand up and preach hard against sin. And we need a church in Botswana that will preach hard against sin. That will preach hard and stand up and tell people, no, no. You know, and they try to force wickedness and sinful lifestyle down our throat just to stand up and say no. And have no fear. Have boldness and not fear man or not fear the news media and not fear the protesters or the sodomites, not fear the government, but to just stand up and preach the word of God, unfiltered, uncensored, to preach the whole Bible with no fear. That's what we need. And you know what? It's not happening hardly at all in the United States or in South Africa or in Botswana. You don't see a lot of men of God just standing up and boldly proclaiming. And when a guy gets up and preaches hard, then when they start attacking him and the media attacks him, often he'll just back down. Like, oh, that's not what I meant. Whoa, let me take it back. And then basically the sodomites take over. The atheism takes over. You know, all of the godlessness takes over. Because you know what? They're bold. They have the guts to stand up and say what they believe. We need to have the guts to stand for what we believe. And it would only take a few preachers that would stand up and preach hard could turn things around. You know, if just even just 1% of preachers would get up and preach hard. It just doesn't happen. Let me ask you this. If a preacher is afraid to preach everything in the Bible, is he filled with the Spirit of God? Because the Bible said God did not give us a spirit of fear. So being filled with the Spirit of God is the same as having no fear of man, having no fear of persecution, having no fear of what man can do at us. That's part of being filled with the Spirit, because the Spirit of God is a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. It's not a spirit of fear that he gave us. Let's go back to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. And listen to me. When it comes to being saved is easy because we just have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. That's it. But living the Christian life is not easy. Getting to heaven is easy. Believe in Jesus and he paid for everything. But taking a stand for the Lord is not easy. And preaching what needs to be preached is not easy. And living a Christian life is not easy. And let me tell you something. This church here is not here to just only preach the gospel. We're here to preach the gospel. We're here to baptize people. And we are here to teach you to observe everything that Christ commanded us. Everything. We have to preach the whole Bible. And let me tell you something. If you come to a church like this that preaches against sin, sometimes your sin is going to get preached on. You know, it's all fine and dandy when we're preaching against the sodomites. Yeah, burn them. But hold on. What about when we get on your sin? You need to come here and realize that the church is here to preach the whole Bible, and some of it might offend you. Some of it might be uncomfortable for you. You know what? I'm going to tell you right now. There's a big sin in this country. I've only been here for 3 days. There's a big sin in Botswana. It's drunkenness. It's a major sin. I'm telling you, it's true. Because I've noticed it everywhere I go. Alcohol, lots of alcohol. And we went to the bar. We didn't go to the bar, but we went by the bar. Last night, we went out and we were exploring at night. We wanted to kind of, you know, check out the city at night. We were kind of walking around. And we walked by a bar that was right by your house. We went to that bar. There were like 500 people there. And in the parking lot, and in the bar, and across the street, and there's just so much drinking, and so much drunkenness, and alcohol is a big problem today in Botswana. It's a big problem. And you know what? There are going to be some people who come to this church, and when the pastor preaches on alcohol, they're going to get offended and say, "Hey, why are you talking about alcohol? Hey, what's going on?" But you know what? The pastor, or whoever's preaching, the missionary, Brother Garrett, you know, he needs to be able to be up here and preach without fear, without any, and just say, "No, you are in sin if you're drinking."
Amen.
You need to put away your drunkenness from you, and you need to be filled with the Spirit. The Bible says, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." And we need some preachers who have the guts to preach against alcohol. You know what? I don't know everything about Botswana because I'm very new here. I am a foreigner, okay? But let me say this. I have a suspicion. I think I can guess. Because there's so many people going to church and there are so many churches here. I have a suspicion that these pastors are not preaching very hard against alcohol in the churches. That's my guess. If I had to guess, I would say they're not getting up and preaching hard against alcohol. And you know why? Because they're afraid. They're afraid it'll make people leave. And they're afraid it'll make people quit the church. But you know what? Somebody needs to get up and preach hard and show what the Bible says. The Bible says, "Who hath woe?" And I'll just read it. I know some of you don't have the whole Bible. You have the New Testament. But I'm going to read for you from Proverbs 23. Those who do have the full Bible, you can turn to Proverbs 23. Otherwise, just listen in to this. The Bible says right here in Proverbs 23, verse 29, "Who hath woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has babbling? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes?" Now look, these are not good things. Sorrow, woe, redness of eyes, babbling, saying stupid things, wounds without cause. He said, "They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine, look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Listen to this. Listen to this next part. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thy mouth shall utter perverse things. That's what the Bible says. When you drink, you will say perverted things. Your eyes will behold strange women. You will start looking at women other than your wife, and you're lusting after other women. And you know what? I can tell you story after story after story in the United States of people's lives destroyed by alcohol. I knew a guy, he was happily married, everything was great. He got drunk only one time in his life. He got drunk once. And he ended up committing adultery with a woman. And his wife left him, ruined his whole marriage, destroyed his life, just kept getting drunk once. Because he got so drunk, he didn't realize what he was doing, and he ended up sleeping with some other woman. And when his wife found out, she's very, you know, I mean, and think about this. What if you get drunk and you do something that you're going to, you know, regret, or you know, I mean, it's just, there's no good that can come of it. And, you know, you can justify it, well, you know, but look, it's wrong. It's a sin. And we need to get it out of our lives. There's no good, and you know what, it's a waste of money. Because I've noticed the theme about wasting money around here. You know, every time I did something that these ladies in the front row did not approve of my spending, they say, you're wasting money, you wasted money. Well, you know what the biggest waste of money is? Buying liquor is a waste of money. That's a waste of money. Buying cigarettes is a waste of money. Buying drugs is a waste of money. If nothing else, save the pulas for something else. And so we need a preacher that has the guts to tell us that alcohol is wrong, and that drinking is wrong, and that being drunk is wrong, and that it's destroying people's lives, and there's a big problem in Botswana today. And it's a problem everywhere. It's a problem in America. But go back to 2 Timothy chapter 1 in the New Testament. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Because this is a really important point that I want to show you, okay? Because a lot of people, when they hear hard preaching, they don't understand. And they get offended by it. It hurts their feelings. But let me show you this important point, okay? The Bible says right here in verse 7, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, right? Powerful preaching, not scared, weak, timid preaching. Powerful preaching, bold preaching, right? But look at the next term. You would expect power, right? Not fear, power. Because when you're afraid, you're weak. The opposite of fear is power, right? But look at the next word. But of power and of love. Now, why is that there? Why does it mention love? Not fear, but power and love and a sound mind. I'll tell you why. Because the preacher who preaches you the truth, and he's not afraid to preach the truth, it's because he loves you. He loves you. Now, the preacher who doesn't want to offend you, so he sugarcoats everything and just preaches you part of it, he loves himself. Actually, this is what he loves. His wallet. He loves his wallet. He loves his money. And so he wants to make sure to just get as many people to come to church as he can and just have a good old time and woo and have a little party. But he's not going to preach against your sin because he doesn't really love you. He doesn't really care about you. He cares about this. The preacher who preaches against your sin is because he loves you. It's not because he's mad at you. It's not because he hates you. It's because he's trying to help you. He loves you. See, when you love someone, you tell them what they need to hear, not what they want to hear. Amen. Because you actually care about that person. You actually love them. You tell them what they need to hear, not just give them what they want. You know why you tell people what they want to hear? Is just to make them like you and to make them give you money. And so that you could be popular. And so that you could be famous. And everybody loves you. You know what? That's wicked. And that's a person who loves themselves. Right? But if you love other people, you tell them the truth. And here's the thing. Fear, like we talked about earlier, stops people from going out soul winning. They're afraid. They're scared, right? But here's the thing. Love says, We got to give these people the gospel because they need. We love them and we want them to go to heaven. See that? So you see how fear can hold you back from expressing real love, where you actually tell people the truth and you actually bring people the gospel. So the Bible says God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love. You know, the reason that we go soul winning, the reason that we preach hard, the reason that we teach the Bible, the reason that we do these things is out of love for Jesus and love for you in the church and love for the people out there. It's love that motivates us. But you know what? You know what the devil tries to say? We're hateful. Hate group. Oh, you're bringing hate to Botswana. That's what they said about us on the news. But you know what? We're bringing love of Christ, the love of the gospel. But here's the thing. If you love the flowers, you must hate the weeds.
Amen.
Think about it. If you love the flowers, you have to hate the weeds. If you love the children, you will hate the pedophile. I mean, it just makes sense. I mean, it's obvious. If you love God, you hate the devil. I mean, it's pretty simple, right? I mean, you can't love the devil and God. Well, I love God and I love the devil. No, you don't. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You can't just love everything and everybody. Oh, I just love everybody and everything. No, you don't. That's a lie. Because if you love everybody and everything, you don't love the Father. Because the Bible said you either love the Father or you love the wickedness of this world. You can't love both. You can't love God and the devil. You will either love the one and abhor the other, or else you will, you know, hold to the one and despise the other. You know, you can't have both. So the Bible says that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now, why did he bring up the sound mind? Because of fear, our country in the United States and the country here, in many cases, they're going crazy because of fear. They're crazy. Like, I mean, anybody who thinks that a man should be with another man and get married is crazy. It's crazy. But this is the craziness. When all the preachers are scared and in fear, and then they start saying crazy things and accepting crazy things. No, God gave us the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's what comes from God. And then look at the next words. Verse number 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Because of the fact that fear is not of God, when we're fearing man and fear, he says, because of that, don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Why don't you open your mouth to your friend and tell them how to be saved and give them the gospel of Jesus Christ? Don't be ashamed. You say, well, it's embarrassing. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. He said, be not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. And you know what the next thing he said? Don't be ashamed of me. Right? And you say, well, why would they be ashamed of Paul? He said, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. Now, why is he talking about being a prisoner? Well, jump down, if you would, in the same chapter to verse number 16. It says, the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. Now, what's the chain? Paul is in prison. Paul is in prison. He got arrested for preaching, and they put him in prison, and he's chained up in prison. He's writing this. He's chained, all right? And basically, what is he saying? He's saying, don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Don't be ashamed of the word of God. And he's saying, don't be ashamed of me just because I'm in prison. Just because I'm in prison, don't be ashamed of me. But be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. And he said, I like this guy Onesiphorus. You know what I like about him? He wasn't ashamed of my chain. He wasn't embarrassed to be associated with the word of God, and he wasn't embarrassed to be associated with the man of God. Now listen, Pastor, Brother Garrett Kirschway, who's going to be here preaching, okay, the missionary here, the evangelist here, okay, listen, he is going to be preaching the whole Bible, and he's going to preach hard on sin, and I guarantee you there's going to be opposition. There's going to be people who attack him. There's going to be criticism. They already drew a nice comic of him in the newspaper. I like that comic. Who saw the comic in the newspaper? I love it. It showed Brother Garrett Kirschway, and he looked like he was filled with power. He didn't look like he had a spirit of fear. He was running. He had the Bible, and he's running with it. And it showed the Lega Bibo or whatever. And they're like, right? And he's like, you know. I like that comic. Let me tell you something. Because I'm just a visitor. I'm just here today, you know, and I'm going to be gone in a week. But let me tell you something. When this man gets up, Brother Garrett Kirschway, and he gets up and preaches with the power of God. He's a great preacher. Very good preacher. When he gets up and preaches with power the word of God, you need to stand with him. Stand with the man of God and defend him. Amen. And when your friends are criticizing him and say, oh, that crazy Garrett Kirschway, I saw him in the newspaper, you know, the Bible thumper or whatever, you know, and they make fun of him or they attack him, you know what you should say? You know what? He's a man of God. He's a great man. You need to come to church and listen to this man preach the word of God. Don't be ashamed to be like, oh, well, and they're like, hey, you don't go to that church, do you? And you're like, no. Wait a minute. Do you go to that church with that pastor, Kurt, you know, that's from America, and he was attacking the sodomites, and he's, oh, no, I don't know what you're talking about. You would not be the first person who did that. Even Peter did that. Remember when they said, oh, you're with Jesus, and Peter's like, well, I don't know who Jesus is. I know not the man. I don't know. I don't. Brother Kirschway? I don't know. Garrett? Who? What? Hey, listen to me. You stand for the word of God. And you stand up. And don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. And don't be ashamed of the man of God. Say, that's my preacher. That's my preacher. And be proud of him. And stand with him. Because you know what? It's hard to preach the whole Bible and be attacked. It makes it easier when people stand with you, right? Because the Bible tells us that we help each other. You know, we're iron sharpens iron, and two are better than one, the Bible says. So we need to stand for the man of God. And you know what? We have some friends here tonight from Verity Baptist Church in Sacramento, California. And they went through some really harsh persecutions and through some really bad times. And you know what? It was difficult for that church, but the reason that they made it through stronger than ever is because people stood with the man of God. And you know what? The cowards, who as soon as the slightest persecution came, they fled and they left and they would not stand with Pastor Jimenez, who is one of the greatest men of God of our generation, and they would not stand with him. Let me tell you something. It's an embarrassment. You see, and I'm going to close on this. This is my last point. This is what Jesus said. He said, whosoever therefore will be ashamed of me and my words. This is what Jesus said. Whosoever therefore will be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and wicked generation. He said, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh with his Father and the angels. You know, Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me, I'm ashamed of you. Why would you do that? Now look, you're still going to go to heaven. I mean, Peter still went to heaven. I mean, of course, you still go to heaven. As long as you believe in Christ, you can never lose your salvation. But look, you don't want to get to heaven and be a little bit embarrassed. And Jesus is a little embarrassed, and you're a little embarrassed. You know, you want to go there and boldly come before the throne and get the rewards, get the crowns, and get the well done, thou good and faithful servant. Listen to me. We should not be ashamed of the Bible. We should not be ashamed of the man of God. We should not be ashamed of church. But I'll tell you what we should be ashamed of, being a coward. Amen. That's embarrassing. Being a baby. Being scared of everything. You know, little babies and toddlers, they're scared of everything. You just go like, hi. They're like, woo. You know, you just make a sudden movement and they're, you know, you just anything wrong, and they get scared really easily, right? Boo. And look, let me talk to the men for a minute. Part of being a man is having courage and bravery and not being a scaredy cat. And you know what? Some men in churches today, they need to get out of the spiritual diapers. They need to get some spiritual big boy pants on. And they need to quit being afraid of everything and being a bunch of cowards and babies and sissies. And they need to man up and stand for what's right. You know what's embarrassing? And here's what people say. Pastor, you got attacked in the news. Are you embarrassed? No. Why would I be embarrassed for taking a stand? Why would I be ashamed of preaching the truth? You know what I'd be embarrassed of is if I was a coward. I'd be embarrassed if I didn't have the guts to say what I believe. And you say, well, I don't agree with you on everything. Well, you know what? If you disagree, I hope you have Bible to back that up. You know, but let me say this though. Whatever you believe, even if your belief is slightly different, do you have the guts to stand for what you believe? Or are you just a coward? Scared, fearful. That didn't come from God. Boldness comes from God. Courage comes from God. Power comes from God. And so we need to make sure that fear does not creep in. And we need to make sure that we're ashamed of sin. You know what you ought to be ashamed of? If you're a drunkard. You should be ashamed. That's embarrassing. It's an embarrassment. And your friends might think you're cool. Yeah, you're cool. You get drunk. But you know what? It's embarrassing. But you know what's not embarrassing? Going soul winning. Going to church. Reading the Bible. So we need to get our hearts right with the Lord. And we need to pray the Lord. And you say, well, Pastor Anderson, I'm scared. What do I do? I'm fearful. What do I do? Pray for boldness. And God will answer you. Right? If we pray to the Lord, He hears us. Pray to the Lord. You know what some people need to do? Some people need to, tonight, just get on their knees tonight before they go to bed and just pray and say, Lord, help me never to be scared. Take away the fear, Lord, and give me boldness. Give me power. Give me strength. You know what? God wants you to pray that. And when he hears you pray that, He's going to like that. He's going to give you power. You know what? The reason why I'm not going to back down is because I prayed hundreds and thousands of times for God to give me boldness. That's what you got to do. You got to ask the Lord to help you. Because God will give us that spirit of boldness if we ask Him to do so. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank You so much for the Holy Spirit, Lord, which is not a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. And Lord, we pray that You would protect us. You promised that even through the valley of the shadow of death, You would always be with us, Lord. And even when we're alone, help us not to be scared because we know that You're with us, Lord. And Lord, I confess to You that I'm a human being and sometimes I'm fearful and I have the wrong fear, Lord. But Lord, I pray that You would give me boldness and I pray that You would give every single person who's here tonight boldness and take away the fear. Help us to fear not. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.